You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. We're talking 49ers training camp today. Kendrick Bourne thinks it's a little bit more difficult, maybe in Patriots camp. We'll get to that. Kyle Shanahan on the mic talking about the non-quarterback competition. He still says it's one and it's two and that's it, and there are no plans for it to be otherwise. Some Madden rating notes I want to get into and talk to Croc about on today's podcast, and some notes from Peter King's latest as well. He was at Niners camp and has some insight there, and maybe get to some of your listener questions. At BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker is where you can get to Eric and I with those questions. This episode brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Croc, how you doing, man? Loving your studio. You got the blue light. You're supposed to have the red light going in your background. Nobody else can see this but me right now. But you got to give the red vibe, I think, if we're talking 49ers right now. You got the blue NFL wide vibe.
Yeah, and usually when I turn the light out, then you can see it. So I have one behind me, in front of me, I guess. It's an LED light on the desk that's attached to it. And then I have my ring light, and then I have that one, and it kind of gives like a blue hue when I turn the lights out, and it looks really good. But
bluish
hue. Yeah, man. You know what? I'm all right. I'm a little flustered. I'm over here. We're talking about Peter King in the group chat with the homies.
Okay.
And one of my homies, he's a Cowboy fan. Another one's a Bills fan. And they kind of are like, who, Peter King? Like, what? He don't know what he's talking about. Like, top seven receivers. I know we'll get into the comments, but it's got me a little flustered. We'll get into that.
Wait. Did Peter King say something about receivers?
Oh, yeah. He said he walked away. Laura Britt on the podcast with Mayoko.
Oh, yeah.
Asked Peter King, tell me something positive that you walked away with. And he said he walked away thinking that Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are he said there's not 5, 6, or 7 teams with better outside receivers than those two guys. That's what he walked away from the camp saying, thinking.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's start with the Peter King stuff then.
Getting a little spicy.
Yeah. One of the other things he said that Kyle Shanahan was asked about today, and Kyle was like, I don't know. You can fake it because you could just turn on your iPad and let it play and then go play video games or watch a movie or something. So it was a good point by Kyle. And he's definitely someone who cheated his way through his college courses, as did I in some cases. But the quote from Peter King's article about the 49ers, and he was on with Mayoko on that podcast that you can check out. It's always good stuff there with Laura Britt. He said the team gave every player an iPad to study plays in the playbook and that day's game tape. Of the 90 players in camp, guess whose iPad has registered the most minutes used on the Niners' internal server where every login is recorded? That is Trey Lance's iPad. And Kyle said, yeah, he doesn't really look at that stuff, and that was the first he had heard of that, and that it's not surprising either because he said, yeah, you can tell. You don't need to look at the iPad hours because you can tell who's prepared when they show up and when they're in meetings and when they're on the field playing. And he said he's not surprised at all that Trey Lance would be that. So it's something we kind of already knew about Trey Lance, but he's going to put in some work. And so I like that little nugget from Peter King. It looks good in print for sure.
I think Kyle Shanahan can, and maybe he does behind closed doors, but it almost feels like he's going above and beyond to protect Jimmy Garoppolo. Where, like, I feel like there's you can word things a certain way to show a little love to your guy, at least like smile a little bit, even if you're saying that, you know, like, you know, but I mean, he's saying stuff with like a stone cold face and like just looks like maybe he's just irritated with everyone asking a bunch of questions about the quarterback situation. That could be the case.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, it seems like he's not really into talking about it.
No, well, irritated. See, that's the thing, and this is going to come, and so that was one of the things I had talked about after the trade up and after everything and after the draft. Is like, well, this is what happens. You get asked about it every day, and he's trying to limit the amount of scrutiny and the amount of spotlight that's on this whole situation. He's trying to protect himself a little bit, but I think most of all, he's trying to protect Jimmy and protect protect Trey Lance. Because if it's a straight-up competition, I think there'd be even more focus on it because people would be freaking out even more. But if he's steadfast in the idea that Jimmy's the one, Trey's the two, and there's no reason to change that right now, then I think he tries to limit that scrutiny. And I think it probably helps Trey Lance the most because it keeps the most amount of pressure off of Trey Lance. That's the way I read the situation, because we know it's a competition. We know it's going to be Trey Lance at some point. And I think when Kyle makes the switch, it'll all be one day from 2-1. It's not going to be they're both ones. They're both, you know, competing with the ones. It's going to be Trey Lance is the starter now. And that's going to be the end of the competition. But until then, it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo's the starter, and that's it. And no plans to change it. And that could be tomorrow. Who knows?
And he kind of did this, you know, with this kind of tone and these kind of mannerisms when they had the press conference right before the draft, and he kind of came out there and was like, you know, if you like the guy at 12, then you like him at 3. And, you know, he kind of came out and did that whole thing, kind of like that deflecting thing. And we don't know if we're all going to be alive on Sunday. And, you know, like that whole little thing where he's like, I think he just doesn't want to talk about it. And maybe that's what's going on here. Now, obviously, people are going to read into the quotes a whole lot of every little thing that he says or take from it what they want to hear, right? But I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't want to talk about it and wants it to happen organically, however it is going to happen. But I did think, you know, just with some of his words, the way I don't know if there's a way to talk about Trey Lance the way he talked about Garoppolo, but it's like, dude, what the hell are you watching? Like, what? Not saying what are you watching, but like we're seeing all the reports. And I listened to Mayoko's podcast with Laura Britt and his tone. I listened to him throughout the offseason as well in his tone. He did not want Trey Lance. He wanted Mac Jones, and he was heavy on the Mac Jones train, like heavy on it, like the conductor of it. And was like, oh, Trey Lance, like, you know, he's not a thrower and all this. And I listened to him last night, and this dude is in love with Trey Lance. So if everybody is, like, so in love with him and saying all these positive things, and I get it, you're the coach, and you know your players more than anyone. But I think he might be going a little bit out of his way to try to maybe quiet the crowd a little bit, not trying to fan the flames a little bit, try to keep everything simmered down. Or, and I don't want to be like those people on Twitter that are like, oh, watch how the people that want Trey Lance to start, they're going to be trying to twist his words and they're going to ignore him saying this. I don't want to be that guy, but maybe he's trying to deflect the whole thing. I don't know, but it was a little weird when I was watching.
I don't really remember what the whole Steve Young, Joe Montana thing was like in camp, but Bill Walsh played it the opposite, and he's like, they're in competition with each other. And it's probably not the best way to do it, but it was probably great headlines. And I can't imagine what talk radio was like back then and what things were written like and what the water cooler talk was and what it had been like if Twitter was out there. But it's funny just to see this, and Kyle Shanahan's doing everything he can to squash it. But yeah, there's definitely a Team Trey and a Team Jimmy, and they're getting mad at each other. And everyone's accusing everybody else of pointing out, you know, only one person's faults in practice and not the other person's faults in practice. So it's great theater for me. Like, I'm enjoying it right now. So we'll see. And hopefully it doesn't creep into the minds of Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan. And that's the big worry with all of this is they do all start to get annoyed and maybe somebody crumbles under the pressure. But I just don't see any of those guys really being too fazed by it.
I think the players are doing a good job of maybe blocking out the noise a little bit and just, you know, preparing and doing things. They understand what's going on in the building. It's the fans. I just saw this clip of Rambo. Rambo covers the 49ers. He has a YouTube page, does extremely well. This guy came on Rambo's show. It was like picture on his YouTube. You can see both of them. And he's like, shut up, Rambo. You're delusional. You don't know nothing. I mean, like, just going at him, and it's all over this quarterback battle, man. This thing is getting heated. I see a bunch of subliminals throughout my timeline about it because of maybe people think one way or the other. I mean, it is heated. I wonder if the whole Steve Young and Joe Montana thing was like this, especially if they had social media.
I'm sure it was. This is what quarterback competitions are like. This is what it is, and it's going to be a national story. It's going to be continually covered. And they're going to be, the Niners are going to be one of those teams that leads the NFL Network highlight package during preseason weeks, right? Because Trey Lance is going to be on the field and they're going to talk about it. And they're going to show what he does good or what he does bad and what Jimmy does good and what Jimmy does bad. And they're going to try to, you know, decide like all the beat writers and like all the fans are, decide who's winning it and who's really going to be the quarterback. So whether Kyle says it's a, competition or not, we all know the score. We know it's eventually going to be Trey. The question is when, and Kyle's trying his best to make it seem like when is not now, but it could always be tomorrow. One last note here with Peter King that you pointed out from the Mayoko and Laura Britt podcast, and I always forget what it's called. What, didn't they change the name of the podcast? What is it called now?
49ers.
It was 49ers Insiders, but now it's 49ers Talk. Is that it?
Yeah.
They changed it. 49ers so. Talk is, I believe, what it's called. But it's always great, and love Mayoko. But Peter King was telling a story about a throw, right? How did it go? Mm-hmm. He told a story about a throw, maybe it's like a seam throw after he rolled out a little bit, and I think he hit Ayuk on a seam, right?
Yeah, so this is one of those things where, you know, Kyle Shanahan alluded to, when Trey Lance is ready, everybody will know, right? And maybe we're not there yet, but it definitely seems like we're inching there. And Peter King said he was right behind the defense, and Trey Lance did this thing where he kind of maybe like rolled out to a certain area and like spun his shoulder, got his shoulders around and fired this ball about 25 yards on the rope to Ayuk. And he said the reaction from the defensive players, like they all just gave this like, oh, like, you know, did y'all see that? Like that type of thing. And that's what starts quarterback competition.
Yeah, so the defenders are out there
and hear that.
Yeah, so Peter King standing behind the defenders when all this goes on. He can hear everybody that's watching. He's like, ooh, it's one of those kind of throws. And yeah, that's obviously something that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't get a lot of oohs and ahs just from his physical ability and his athleticism and his arm strength. And it's something that Trey Lance is going to do. And so that's what's going to get fans excited in these preseason games when we get to see him. And I that's one of the things I can't wait to see. And then Ross Dwelly was asked about it. So it's actually something that maybe the defenders will notice more than the offense, because Ross Dwelly was talking about, or he was asked a question about it, and he's like, I don't even know who's the quarterback half the time. I'm just trying to do my assignments and make my blocks and run my route and hope the ball's there for me. So he didn't really think he saw anything crazy from any quarterbacks, and most of them have said they believe in Jimmy, and Jimmy's the guy, and he's leading the team. So we'll see. We will see what happens there, and we'll see if it actually becomes a quarterback competition. But apparently today, according to Kyle Shanahan, is not the day. Let's talk about some other notes. Cornerback notes, a couple players on the field doing team drills for the first time, and take some listener questions next. You want in on the action? Well, you can get some at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports. BetOnline even has awards, TV shows, and reality TV you can bet on. Table games, poker, blackjack, real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And oh yeah, back to the sports. NFL props, futures, offensive, defensive rookies of the year, Super Bowl champions, win totals. Major League Baseball, all summer long, we've got any number of other things you can get in on the action at betonline.ag. Just remember to tell them that Locked On sent you. The fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports, and it's free to sign up. Just go to betonline.ag, use promo code Locked On, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Croc, a couple notes here from camp. Day five, we were one day ahead. There was some confusion whether or not pads were going on Monday. Pads are going on Tuesday. They've had the five non-padded practices now. Tuesday is the day that pads will go on at camp, and they're still doing a few days. I think they have one or two more days of installs, according to Kyle Shanahan. Said there's seven practices of installs, like apparently five non-padded, and the two first practices are going to be a lot of install stuff, and then we'll be off and running. I think then it can be a little bit more of a competition with pads on. Stuff has been installed and guys are just playing. And then obviously we'll be getting close to preseason games as well going into the next week. So, and there's actually a Hall of Fame game coming up in a couple days, which is kind of crazy. Dee Ford, this is a big story. I mean, Javon Kinlaw, we knew he's going to eventually get on the field. He had a little bit of a swollen knee after traveling to Santa Clara, so he's been doing individual drills only. Dee Ford had a maintenance day and was doing individual drills, but both Dee Ford and Kinlaw, Dee Ford the big one, on the field doing team drills now for the first time. So that's huge. And if Kinlaw can take that step, I'm not sure. There's been reports that he hasn't looked like one of the starting defensive tackles, like maybe there's a couple other tackles, and actually Grant Cohen's one of those. We'll talk to Grant on Thursday's pod and see what he says about that.
Ooh, don't say that too loud.
Well, Grant, look, this is good for all you guys that are mad at Grant and hate Grant, that's good for his brand. I mean, that, like, so he elicits a response, and it's funny. I've heard a lot of people on Twitter always like, "Oh, you can't have Grant on the show."
I'd
like to get everybody's opinion. We'll get Grant on, and we'll get some of the other beat writers on, and you can always hit us up at BD Peacock, at Eric Crocker. If there's certain people you want us to have on as a guest, we'll reach out to them. Now that Croc's on the show, I've had less guests on because it's so easy to bounce ideas off of each other, but we should have some more guests on as we go through camp here.
And not to cut you off, but I think they'll like the Grant Cohn that they hear on the show. I think they'll like that Grant Cohn. And we've talked about it. There's two different Grant Cohns. And the one they hear on this show, I think they'll like that.
Oh, we're not going to let him get out of pocket. We're going to call him out on his stuff if he tries to weasel his way into something that doesn't pass the smell test. No, but Grant's, I've had him on a couple times. He's always nice. And we agree more than we disagree. But there are some things I'm going to ask him about. I think that'll be a really fun conversation. But D Ford, is it time to get excited about D Ford? Can we officially do it? He's on the field, right? It's go time.
It felt like that that GIF where the guy's like, "Look at us," you know. And that's when I saw D Ford practicing. That's when I was like, "Look at us! Look at the Niners, man! Like healthy D Ford, Nick Bosa out there, Jalen Hurts back at practice. Come on, man, let's go."
Here's a note from Matt Barrows at cornerback. Tim Harris has been doing some work with the ones because he's just been around for a while because Emmanuel Mosley's been out and they didn't want to throw the rookies in the fire quite yet. Dante Johnson dealing with foot soreness, and Harris was limited. So that meant they did have to lean on the rookies a little bit more. Rookie third rounder Ambry Thomas took most of the first team reps in the latter half of practice, though fellow rookie Diamador Lenore took a few too. And from the reports I've seen, I know Kyle Posey of Niners Nation has said this, and I think Jason Aponte, who we were on his podcast not too long ago together, he has also said this, and somebody else I heard say the same thing, is Diamador Lenore in the early practices so far looks better than Ambry Thomas as far as the rookie corners go, and that Ambry Thomas looks like he might not be ready to jump in and start if they need him to.
I thought Lenore's skill set would translate better immediately. He has a more versatile skill set. He can play off. He can play press. He's a scrappy guy. He has good feet, changes direction. He has all those things. His play was just kind of up and down at times in college. I thought last year he did much better, but, you know, he didn't test as well as an Ambry Thomas and doesn't have quite the height of an Ambry Thomas. So I think, you know, Ambry's probably going to, you know, I think he ran like in the 4.3s. So he's a guy that's probably going to go higher. But in theory, Ambry Thomas, I mean, he didn't go too much higher. He was a comp pick, third round pick. You know, I mean, he was really late, so kind of like a fourth round guy. Then you got Lenore in the next round. The talent, there's not a gap really in talent between them in the sense of how they're viewed. We're not talking about a first rounder versus a sixth rounder or something like that. You know, so
yeah,
Lenore,
both
if he's
guys.
Better, I could see that. I could see that. And Lenore was more of my type of guy. Like, if you just said, hey, you could pick one of these corners, who would it be? I would have picked Lenore, but, you know, we'll see. They must have really liked something about Ambry Thomas. Doesn't sound good so far coming out of camp, though.
No, the reports about Ambry Thomas haven't been great so far. You know, nothing's damning yet. Pads haven't even come on, so it's a little too early. And I think that's what Kyle's thing is with the quarterback. He's like, look, this is our plan. Five unpadded practices isn't going to change that. We have our plan, so let's see what happens. Go through the preseason games, and then we'll see. And who knows? Maybe Trey Lance is still certainly a possibility. Trey Lance could be the opening week starter, week one starter. But right now, it does not seem like that is the plan for the 49ers as far as Kyle Shanahan is concerned, and we'll see how the rest of the rookies come along.
You got to take advantage of that. When you have that opportunity, Ambry Thomas, you're running with the ones, mm-hmm. like you're a third-round pick. You have to take advantage of that and put a stranglehold on that and not let Mosley come back and take the spot or at least make it to where it's a legit competition. But to just look like you're not ready and let Lenore look like he's better than you, like you can't let that happen when you were the higher draft pick and you have that type of opportunity because things like that typically don't happen often.
That's too many guys that you get caught behind. So you, first of all, you have to let Tim Harris and Diontae Johnson not get those reps when Mosley's out. Even if Mosley gets it back when he comes back, now you're competing with Mosley, and you've passed up those two guys now that you had the opportunity to run with the ones. And you certainly don't want to also get behind Diamador Lenore. Now there's four guys in front of you for that playing time, right? So that's pretty big. So, yeah, it's sometimes you need to be ready when called upon, and that might be your fourth practice as a professional. So we'll see how that goes with Ambry Thomas. A couple more notes, Croc. What day is it? Mondays, training camp practice, practice number 5, the last unpadded practice for the 49ers. Not the last unpadded practice, but the last time before pads officially go on in training camp. And I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, Croc, but I saw multiple reports that Garoppolo started off a little shaky, threw an interception. I think it was it Warner that got him again? I think Warner might have got him again. And
yeah,
might have been
Fred Warner got him first. I want to say it was like the second rep of goal
of the
line.
Day. Right. Yeah, the goal line. They were doing a lot of goal line stuff. So Garoppolo got picked off. Trey Lance started hot. But then at the end of practice, Lance threw an interception, and then Garoppolo finished really hot. So they ended practice sort of flip-flop from how the day started for them. But there was a run of touchdowns that sound very enticing from an athletic young rookie quarterback in Trey Lance, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, he gives you that added element and will probably increase the 49ers' red zone efficiency. You know, it has been something that's been up and down, but now you add the element of teams having to defend 11 guys instead of 10 and a quarterback that's not stationary, that's mobile, and you can utilize that in multiple ways. And they did just that. You know, came out, threw two straight touchdown passes, and then ran in a third one. And that's what you get from somebody that has that type of skill set.
The goal line stuff. Maybe that's where we see Trey Lance first. Not starting games, but a goal line package where he's in there at quarterback, because that's too valuable of a skill set, right? I mean, you're talking about putting points on the board. He's one of your best 11. He's not ready to start, but week one, he is one of your best 11 red zone players on offense, right?
Yes, that is correct. But, and again, in theory, yes. I mean, like, that's the correct answer. But if I'm Garoppolo, and it's almost like a Drew Brees thing, right? When they bring in Taysom Hill, you kind of just see him just standing over on the sideline. And, you know, maybe he was cool about it, maybe not. But obviously, like, yeah, you bring in Trey Lance. But if I'm Garoppolo and I'm trying to look at it from his perspective, how do I feel about that? And it's like, you know, I almost feel like, man, just keep it. This reminds me of, like, what was it, last week? I had put out like this, like, content guys and opinionated something. And I just kind of ranked some Twitter guys that I really appreciate. And Will Blackman was one of the guys I put for interaction. And then I kind of came back and was like, if it wasn't Will Blackman, it would be Steffi Smalls, because she interacts with everybody. She's on there all day. And Will Blackman responded saying, just take me off the list, right? And I wonder if that's Jimmy Garoppolo, where it's like, just get me out of here. Like, you want to bring Trey Lance in? That was a long way of me saying that, you know, just get me out of here, no, man. You want to bring this guy in?
No iffy all the way stuff. Down the field. Yeah. Oh, dude, that's hilarious. Yeah, like, don't let me in with somebody. Is it me or is it not? Am I the guy or am I not the guy? Yeah, and that's where there's animosity between the guy who's the starter and the guy he's competing with. And the relationship seems good between Garoppolo and in Trey Lance. But yeah, that's the type of thing where you start to compete, and then it's like, well, wait a second, I'm competing with this guy, so I'm not going to let him take $26 million off my plate if I get cut, if he becomes a starter. And so then that's where personalities come into play, and people can get upset, and then the media is asking, and the media is going to be nonstop. Every session they can get with Trey Lance or with Jimmy Garoppolo or with Kyle Shanahan, those are going to be the questions too, so it can wear on you. So those are one of the things you have to look out for, and we're only a week into camp right now. I do want to get some other notes here. There, we have plenty of podcasts to continue to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. No doubt we'll probably talk about that at least a little bit every single day. Next, the 4 or 5 best camp players from around the NFL. Croc, I'll see if you can find the theme in these players that are getting a lot of buzz around the league next. You can save not only money, but you can save time when using RockAuto.com. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store. It's only $216, the very same exact part from rockauto.com. Family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and rockauto.com prices are reliably low for every customer, no matter if you are a professional or an at-home do-it-yourselfer. They are stocked with everything you need, an unbelievable selection at rockauto.com. Everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for the inside of your vehicle. Oh, and the all-important wiper blades, which was my first purchase from rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Forgot to mention Jalen Hurd. It was big news that he was even cleared and able to do individual drills to start training camp. And mentioned Kinlaw and D Ford earlier getting back into team drills. After a couple days off for Jalen Hurd, he was back on the field as well. Not doing team stuff, but just individual drills. So I guess he's a little bit behind D Ford as far as that goes and getting on the field. But he did have a couple of days off and people got a little bit worried. But he was back on the field a little bit. I will say I did see some of those drills in a couple videos of him going through those individual drills. Limping around a little bit, not so much in the middle of the drill, but you could kind of see it in between drills. He's just walking back to the line to get ready to go and you know, do the move off the line. Limping around a little bit.
Yeah, they're trying to kind of bring him on a little slow and monitor it a little bit. They gave him consecutive days off. So, you know, that was a little strange. Mm-hmm. And then obviously he had 2 days off and then the day off that the whole team had. So, you know, really in theory, 3 days straight. And then he comes back and you, like you say, you know, he's still kind of walking gingerly. Mm-hmm. We'll say that.
Absolutely. Right? And sometimes
that's interesting.
Sometimes football players aren't hurt and they still limp. Like I limp all the time. People ask me that all the time. They're like, are you okay? You limp around. It's like, I don't know. I hurt myself 10 years ago and I still limp around from it, but it doesn't affect me. And I'm like actually currently injured. So who knows? It might be something like that. He's just kind of still favoring it or walking a little bit funny from his ACL recovery. Nick Bosa walks funny too. If you watched him walk, you'd be like, I don't know if that guy's super athletic or not just because he walks funny. So yeah. I don't know if it's anything big. And the other thing I noticed is, his legs look skinny. Jalen Hurd looks like he might have lost some weight. We've talked a lot about weight. Jordan Matthews gained 25 pounds. Mike McGlinchey gained 25 pounds. Nick Bosa lost a few pounds, about 260. I want somebody to ask Jalen Hurd what his weight is because I think he might have lost a little bit of weight over the course of the last year. He's looking a little bit slimmer.
Someone said that he's down to about 215, and this was a guy who was 230 pounds.
Okay, that's a lot of weight. He, then. Okay.
And Hurd was a shade under 6'5", 230 pounds. And still at that size, at that height and weight, his three cone was tremendous. So he had all the movement skills and everything. And yeah, shedding some weight, maybe trying to be lighter. I mean, that could have led to the back injury. That could have led to maybe some unproportioned movements causing a knee injury that he had. So maybe shedding about 15 pounds, getting a little bit lighter on his feet can definitely help him. But yeah, you're right. He is looking thinner.
Damn, I think I found that 15 pounds he dropped because over the course of the same amount of time, I'm 6'4". I went from 215 to 230, I think. So that's
Yeah,
that's not great. And I do have the limp too. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe Jalen Hurd and I are kindred spirits there as far as our bodies go. What did we have here? Okay, here's the other thing I want to talk about here. So I've been compiling who are the hot names around different training camps in the NFL, and I've found about four or five players that have gotten the most buzz that seem to be playing the best around the league at their specific camps. And here's the list I have compiled.
Hold on. Can I guess a couple names?
Yeah, guess some names.
Okay, CeeDee Lamb. Is he on there?
CeeDee Lamb just missed the cut.
Oh, okay. Justin Jefferson?
Nope, didn't make the list.
Ooh, okay.
Has been getting some headlines, though. CeeDee Lamb, every day there's a new catch, and he's bodying somebody. But he's never open. It's almost too much of the scouting report on CeeDee Lamb. That's the thing I was worried about. I was like, well, he doesn't have the greatest top-end speed, and I'm a little bit worried. Is it going to be all contested catches for him? And he's here in practice, contested catches all day, just catching it right over the top of people's heads. Every single day there's a new one. Crazy yeah. body control, crazy hands, crazy ball skills.
He's DeAndre Hopkins Jr. He really is.
Yeah, he is. I saw you say that on Twitter, and that's kind of what our comp was for him. I think we talked about that on the pod last year, and that's exactly who he is. No, but neither one of them are on my list. Do you want to hear my list? They just missed. They both have gotten a lot of buzz.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Okay, here's what we got.
Najee Harris. No?
No, but I do have some inside information. Draft Najee Harris on your fantasy football teams. I will say that. 50 catches at least out of the backfield for Najee, and obviously all the carries he can handle. Antioch's finest. Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Nick Mullins. Patriots wide receiver Kendrick Bourne. There is a little wide receiver in Cincinnati that goes by the name of Trent Taylor. In Seattle, there's a corner, long guy, athletic, pretty good feet, Akello Witherspoon. And then Jerick McKinnon, running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, called out by his quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Those are the five hottest names right now in training camps around the NFL. Croc, can you find what those guys have in common?
I don't know. Never heard of them. Nah, amazing. And you know, the crazy thing is, I feel like all those guys had the same reports in San Francisco. Now, that's not to say that they won't play well where they're at. And it seems like they all have a genuine role. And I do strongly believe that in their role, they all played well within what they were asked to do. Even Witherspoon, who we all saw the ability and the potential, was just a little up and down. Trent Taylor, not really surprising, because there were training camps where Trent Taylor looked like the best receiver. So, I mean, you know, his issue was more so health. And then once they started drafting receivers, he kind of got pushed down a little bit and it was just kind of whatever.
Yeah, being a slot-only guy for Trent Taylor on a team that doesn't use the slot as much as some other teams in the NFL, and obviously just not being on the field, period, his injuries was the thing. But he could always get open and make catches. And according to a Bengals scout, wide receiver that has been the all-star in Bengals camp so far has been former 49ers wide receiver Trent Taylor. So that is from a Bengals scout.
Not Jamar Chase, huh?
Apparently not. Maybe,
don't draft him on your fantasy team.
No. And then another first-rounder, Devontae Smith's got a little injury. I believe it was, let's see, I have that saved somewhere.
While you're looking real quick, I mean, and I talked about it, like, I don't care about his weight and stuff, but he is hella skinny. Like, the way it looks when you see him just moving and, you know, you see the videos and everything, I'm just like, golly, like, you look like my son D. And my son D, like, he's really skinny.
He looks like if Kendrick Bourne lost 10 more pounds. 15 more
10
pounds.
More.
Yeah. He looks 15. So skinny.
Because Kendrick Bourne is 200 skinny. Pounds.
Yeah. And by the way, Kendrick Bourne, one of those. But Devontae Smith, here it is. Minor knee sprain for Devontae Smith. Should be out a couple weeks. No cause for concern, according to Rappaport. I don't know. A sprained knee on that skinny dude, that is a cause for concern. He never was really hurt in college, too. That's the other thing. That's why I wasn't really worried about the weight. But, man, when you see him swimming in his uniform with no pads on, it's like, God dang, that guy is really skinny. How about this one, though, from Kendrick Bourne? On Patriots training camp versus 49ers training camp, he said, quote, "It's definitely harder. We work harder here," talking about the Patriots working harder than the 49ers. What do you think, Croc? Is that a good sign, a bad sign? Is it surprising, not surprising? Just seeing him say "we work harder here," it's almost like a jab, it felt like, against the 49ers and the way they work.
I think a lot of 49er fans would take offense to that, but this is well known around the league that nobody works like the New England Patriots. So for him to say that, I mean, who's really surprised, right? I mean, they're known to just the way that they run. I was listening to the John Middlecoff podcast, and he was talking about how, I think it was Edelman was talking about how during the bye week of the NFL playoffs, something like that, they were having full-on scrimmages. So nobody practices like New England, mm-hmm. and nobody does the things that New England does. So to hear him say that, you know, probably the level of preparation, the difficulty part of it, that's a lot of that is why receivers kind of struggle when they go to New England. They like a certain type of receiver because it's hard for a lot of guys to really catch on. It's not surprising that he said that, and I don't think anybody should be offended like that because nobody in the NFL works the same way that the New England Patriots do.
Yeah,
probably with how it feels with who their head coach is and maybe how he talks to people and maybe how McDaniels, you know, like with Kyle Shanahan, it, you know, there's that vibe of like, he's kind
of,
you know, he's cool, he's
one
chill, but you know, and Belichick is like not like that. So when you're in situations like that, where it's kind of like a dictatorship type thing, I've been on the team like that. It makes it not fun, but you are working hard. And ultimately, I mean, you see my jerseys hanging up. We won a championship, but that was the least amount of fun I ever had playing football, ever.
Dude, that's the Belichick way. Yeah. And he wants guys that are come in and going to work. They're going to do their job. Yeah. And sounds
I learned the most about what it took, though, to win a championship. I did. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, it's important. And that's why Belichick's won for so long. It's also why some of his players get sort of ground into a fine powder and maybe get a little bit overworked and aren't afraid to move on. Croc is showing me his ring right now. That's rather large.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Oh, dang. Is it personalized,
got a lot of,
too?
Got a lot of diamonds. Yeah, got my name on there.
Oh, wow.
My year, number, all that stuff.
I didn't know that Arena League had the funds to have rings that were that large. Yeah. That looks legit. No, holy crap. You better put that in a safe, dude.
I just have it sitting right here. It came in a nice box, too. I mean, I know they can't see it, but it lights up and everything.
Oh, whoa. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But, you earned
it. That's enough of that.
Former number one overall pick in the Arena League expansion draft, Eric Crocker, trying to defend his number 41 on Twitter the other day. People are saying that 41's not a good look, not a good number. I know you got the number 6 hanging behind you, but in Jets camp, you were rocking the 41.
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about. That's all that is. 41 is, like, it's legit. I remember thinking, too, because you don't know what number you're going to get when you're an undrafted guy and all that. You just come in. I just remember thinking, like, man, if I get any number in the 40s, please be number 41. And sure enough, I checked. Oh, man, I was so excited. I got 41.
I mean, how can you love 21? Because everyone loves 21, but nobody loves 41. That doesn't make any sense.
You know, the way it looks, the one is kind of like slimmer and stuff. Like, that is the only 40 number you can wear. You can't wear 40. Looks huge. Can't wear 42. Looks huge.
42 is the best 40s number, Ronnie Lott. I love 42. Like, yeah, you don't want to see 42 coming after you. No. Like, 42
someone brought him up in my Twitter mentions, and I will say that amazing player, but it's an ugly number. Just like Troy Polamalu, amazing player. But 43 is ugly.
Here's the thing, though. I think you make the number what it is, because I don't think, like, 23 is a great looking number. But it became that,
cool.
You know, it became a great number because of who wore it, and everyone else wanted to wear it. And then it just became something else in your mind, and you never knew 23 otherwise. And for me, I think that's numbers what 42 that are just cool.
There's just some numbers that are cool. I hated wearing number 6. I didn't want number 6. I think number 6 is an ugly number.
It's not a great looking number by itself, to be honest. But here's the other thing. Is 80 a great number? Do you think of the number 80 when you think of speed and precision? You shouldn't, but you do because of who wore it.
Yeah, but I think that's more off of, like, the NFL's tradition. So, like, in those years, 80 was cool, 81 was cool, 83 was cool, 84, and maybe, like, 87 and 88. Some of the other numbers, you know, you don't want. 80s. But now, you get anything 80s, and it looks terrible because of the teens, and now, like, guys wearing single digits.
Imagine a basketball player walked into the gym with 80, and be like, what the hell are you wearing, dude? You know? Oh, but
Crowder.
In football, it's like, dude, that's GOAT number.
Crowder wears number 99 for the Phoenix Suns.
I mean, that's not bad. That's the biggest number, so that makes sense. When people wear 0 or 1 or 99, I get where they are. You know, it's like, I'm the biggest or the smallest number. Give me something extreme. All right. Anyway, good stuff there. Nick Mullins, according to Sal Palantonio, the best out of the three quarterbacks in Philadelphia. Former 49ers making good, making waves in training camp.
Is that including Hurts?
Yes, that is including Hurts. I don't know if that means Mullins is just balling out or if that's bad news for Hurts. I heard Hurts, I think this maybe after that report, I think he had a good practice over the weekend. I heard some good things about a certain practice, maybe his best practice of the offseason. Maybe he read that report or heard Sal Palantonio say that on ESPN radio and said, you know what, I better get my act together. And he had a great practice after that. Who knows? But listen, I just thought it was funny because I kept seeing former 49ers that I didn't even know that in some cases I forgot that Trent Taylor even signed with the Bengals. Taylor. And of all the names on the Bengals, Trent Taylor wasn't the wide receiver I would expect to see getting headlines there. But I thought it was really funny. There's a lot of former 49ers that have been cast away and forgotten about that I didn't expect much from. Didn't know if they're going to play at all this year. And they're making waves in their team's training camp. So that's, I don't know. I just found it interesting. I was always wondered, like, especially with the court, we're out of time. We don't have much time to get into this. Maybe we can get into it tomorrow a little bit. But when it comes to, like, Nick Mullins, I was like, have the 49ers been so bad at quarterback that Jimmy Garoppolo is like a backup level quarterback, but he looks that much better than the rest of the guys? Imagine what happens when they get a really good quarterback. I kind of wondered that for a while, but then you see these guys go elsewhere and it's like, well, maybe it isn't all coaching and all scheme. Maybe these guys were actually pretty good and deserve some of the accolades they got in 49ers camp and from 49ers fans in the past.
I think Nick Mullins is only good for so long. He is someone, if you say, like, well, he's been playing well, I can see that. He came into the Jets game and played well, came into the Giants game, ripped them apart, and then he has a Philadelphia game. And you start to see some of the limitations and some of the issues when you have to play him a whole lot. He's splitting reps, getting 10 reps in team. He can do that and look just fine. But when you have to play him for an entire game and you got some big dogs running at him, he kind of starts to get like a deer in the headlights. He can give you some moments where it looks really good. Overall, he's extremely limited, and he's a backup. But if he's looking better than Hurts, that ain't good.
And I think it's just he's smart and puts work in and is sort of a savant in that sort of a way. And I think it makes him play up in sort of a practice setting, and he has enough arm to make the throws, so he knows where to go with the ball and can throw a few darts around for a short period of time. But when you're scheming against him, you can stop him. And I think that maybe that's right. where he runs into trouble, when you're actually the starter and teams are trying to game plan against you. Nick Mullins can't overcome that with ability.
Right.
All right, good stuff. Let's come back tomorrow with Nick Winkler on another Winky Wednesday. We'll talk to Grant Cohn Thursday and whatever else is going on with the 49ers. We will cover Friday right here, Locked On 49ers.